This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day.
It's always a beautiful day on a Saturday.
No, Saturdays are always... Why are Saturdays so beautiful? Is it because we don't have to get up early? We don't have to go to the office?
Yeah.
We don't have to work?
Mm-hmm.
We can do what we want.
That is true. And we could work if we wanted to, but we probably won't. You know, and one of the great things about... Saturdays in the fall is that you can get up early without the pressure of having to rush around and get ready to go someplace and be at work in 5 seconds and, you know, rush hour and all that. But you can also take your time, enjoy the nice fall morning chill before it gets a little bit warmer in the day, and just kind of sit back and drink some coffee and just enjoy the early morning.
And, you know, a lot of people can do really fancy coffees on weekends because they're not in a hurry.
Yes. Yes.
All kinds of lattes.
Why? You know, we had, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were driving around and we were looking for something kind of warm in the evening. And so we decided to stop into McDonald's and she said, get a caramel latte. I'm like, okay, what is, I have no idea what that even is, but I got it.
Yeah, me neither.
It was delicious.
Your wife knows a lot, doesn't she?
Yeah,
I hate to say this.
She knows a lot more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, a caramel latte, that sounds good.
Yeah, I haven't had one since. I'd never had one before. I didn't even know what it was. I still don't know what it is, but it's some kind of sugary, delicious caramel hot beverage. If you ever want some,
they had it at McDonald's?
Yes.
It was
amazing. Yeah. Changed my whole life.
Well, yeah, it would. I mean, you know, a lot of people have things we don't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, they have drinks and things that we wouldn't think they would have.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, who would know that that was going to be good?
Yeah. Do you drink a lot of fancy beverages?
No.
Because you don't want to, or you don't know they exist?
I know they exist. I'm not into them.
Yeah.
I'm so into Dr. Pepper that, you know. It's just
well, there's nothing wrong with a good old-fashioned Dr. Pepper.
I know it. And all these years I've done that instead of coffee.
Yeah.
But I love the smell of coffee.
Oh, it's delicious.
I love to smell it in the house. I just don't want to have to drink it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mind fixing something fancy for someone else to drink, but I'm going to still have the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. There's nothing like we used to go, you know, hang out at, you know, some coffee shops and do, you know, take our laptops and work and do all kind of things like that. And then when you leave, if you spend a little bit of time in there, when you leave, you smell like coffee for the next, I don't know, hour or two, whatever it is. And it's the most amazing thing. The smell of coffee is really, it's one of the most wonderful things ever.
Yeah, I love to smell it. I love to come in a room, you know, and smell the fresh brewed coffee. I just never did acquire a taste for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't either until recently.
And, okay, so you just recently became a coffee drinker.
Yes. Yes. Like okay. When the last, probably the last year or two?
Well, and a lot of people, you know, can't even get their eyes open in the morning until they've had coffee.
I know it. I'm becoming one of those people.
So now you know the advantages of that coffee early in the morning.
Yes, yes.
It will get you up, get you stimulated, and get you going.
It's a very refreshing way to start the day.
I think it would be.
Yeah. Well, it hits a number of senses. One, the smell goes in first, and then it kind of jars your brain. And then once you drink a couple of sips and you get the caffeine, it's like, oh, there's round number two.
Well, and I think with the whipped cream and all the things you can put in them would make it more interesting.
Yes. And we've seen commercials on TV now for Starbucks. They've got the holiday whatever those. I don't even know enough to know what they are. Some kind of like a mocha something or other. I have no idea what they are, but after having that amazing latte, I'd love to try some of those.
And I know that Starbucks makes a lot of different kinds of coffee.
Yeah.
And I've heard people talk about that you could spend $7 or $8, you know, on a cup of coffee if you have them do it, you know, all these different things to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, easily.
And I know people that go to Starbucks and just sit there and savor that.
Oh, yes, for hours at a time.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And that's why they're so successful. Wonder who thought Starbucks up. We'll have to look that up.
There's a man, but I don't know his name.
Of course you know it's a man. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Sure it was.
Yeah. We know where we're going next now.
Yeah, we know where that's going.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And we're next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, I will admit, though, that I am kind of a sucker for holiday beverages of all kinds, you know, because you got like cinnamon stuff, you know, cinnamon and pumpkin spices in fall, like now, like we're a few weeks away from Thanksgiving. And so, you know, you got that phase, and then you've got all the Christmas beverages and all the peppermints and all the whatever sugar cookie stuff. And so it's all really, really delicious.
Well, and I think if you're having all these drinks like you're talking about, you've got to have, you know, either the cookies or a sugar cake or, you know, some kind of a little cakey deal to have with them.
You know, speaking of cakey deals, there's a because you know how I am about Hallmark movies at the Christmas time. We were watching one the other day, and it was a guy that went to Rome or something like that. Anyway, they started making panettone. And so we're like, ooh, that looks delicious. Have you ever had any before?
No.
You should. It's basically, it's like a spicy bread with like dried, sugared up candied fruit. It's amazing.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Yeah, we got one the other day at the store, and it was the most holiday amazing. It's not quite as dense as like fruitcake, but it's still, it's really, really delicious.
I like anything that has fruit in it, that has pecans in it, nuts in it, icing on it. You know, I'll take it, the icing anytime.
Yeah.
But I especially like you say, if it's got strawberry preserves or jelly on the inside with a little nuts in it or something like that.
You know somebody's listening in their truck right now, and they're making a detour to go to the store.
I know,
right?
They're going straight. She's got us so hungry.
I know. It's like, oh, man, it all sounds so delicious on a Saturday morning. Jeez Louise. So
I know. I mean, you can't be ordinary. Did you know anybody can be ordinary? But you have to really step up your game and say, okay, you know, I want something a little tastier, a little better. Don't just get something ordinary.
Yeah. Don't fall
go
into
to
the
bakery.
Same rut.
I love bakeries.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite places. Go to the bakery and look over everything they've got and then pick out something really gooey.
Or a couple of something really gooeys.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not against that at all.
you can't stop at one.
No. And I'm a firm believer that if you're on your way to the beauty shop and it's Saturday morning, stop into the bakery. Take the hairdresser something really nice.
Well, now look at you. That's a great idea.
I do that a lot.
Jeez, I should have been a hairdresser. I should have been your hairdresser.
There you go. You've got all those gooey gooeys.
That's all I'm concerned about is the ooey gooeys.
I know. And the other thing they make that I love, and they don't make enough on Saturday, is ham and cheese croissants.
Oh, those are delicious.
I am crazy about them. And my bakery said, well, we've cut down on them. Now, why would you cut down on something that they sell out of every Saturday morning?
Do you like them warm or do you like them cold?
Warm.
Oh, delicious.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I have them warm mine up.
Yeah.
Always.
Oh, boy. Mm.
And they have apple fritters. They have everything that your heart could desire.
Apple fritters are amazing. Nothing like fried dough with some apples in it and then some icing stuff on top. Oh.
Yeah. I don't think we can do this today. I think we have to go to the bakery.
I think so. I don't know how we got off on all that, but my
How we got off on ooey gooey stuff that we really need.
we need all these things as much as we all need money.
Oh, yeah. We need this to help our diets.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah, we need a diet with nothing but pastries in it.
Yes, and then we'll change it maybe January 2nd. But, you know, for now, just pastry. We'll go on the all-pastry diet.
I love that. I'd go for it.
Yeah, you should put something together and sell it online.
There you go. There you go. There's your online deal right there.
Faye Bagby's Pastry Diet.
That's right. I think we could sell a million copies of that diet.
Oh, I bet we could. Yeah, I'm all over that. Jeez.
Yeah, we just need to tell people how to do it.
You could make a fortune.
You have so many pastries every day.
I know it.
And at the end of the year, you'll weigh 25 pounds more.
And that's okay. It's the most delicious there ever was.
That's right. It's the way to go, I'm telling you. And it's happiness. Think about that.
That is true. See?
You know, if you have all those goodies, you'll be so happy you won't care.
I know it. And just thinking about it, I'm so happy I don't care.
That's it. You're already ready to go do it, aren't you?
I'm ready right now.
I knew you would be.
I will start. Be glad to be the test subject for the new diet.
That's it. We could put your picture on it and say, you know, this is our taster.
I can guarantee you're not going to sell very many if you do that.
Oh, my gosh. You don't think a happy, smiley face would be good?
Yeah, happy, smiley faces are fine. I'm not the guy.
Oh, okay. Well, so much for that idea. Oh, me.
But you could. You could make a fortune like that. But for those of us who don't actually have ideas, you know, inventions, neat diet plans and things, what is the best way to make money these days? You know, with things so up and down, it's just like we're all looking for things to kind of get ahead a little bit. Or if you're already ahead, you know, extend that growth a little bit. So, you know, how are things? What's your assessment of the market? What's your assessment of?
Well, I've had calls this week. From friends as well as clients. Friends call, said, Faye, what are we going to do? They're worried. Everything's up and down. They don't know for sure what to do. They said, Faye, what changes should we make? Would you tell us? And I said, first of all, I don't think I would leave everything in the stock market. They retired several years ago, so I know where their money is. I know he retired from a company, and he kept a lot of their stock. And I'm selling them. I don't think I would leave all of it in stock right now because we don't know what's going to happen. Things are really iffy right now. We don't know if stocks are going to go through the roof, if they're going to come down. We don't know what restrictions are going to be put on us. And, of course, that's what I'm really worried about is the restrictions, drilling as well as other restrictions in business, what we can and cannot do, things like this. So, you know, I think that a life settlement might be the way to go because it's a life insurance policy. It's not in the stock market. It's not in mutual funds. I don't think it has the risk right now that the stock market has because it's a different investment. It's a lot more conservative than the stock market. I've had people call this week from all over Texas saying, you know, we want to take our money out of the stock market and we're thinking maybe a life settlement would do it. Now tell us about a life settlement. Not only did I tell them about it, but I told them to go to the website. And we hardly ever give the website information, but it's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look up what people have made. Look up whether they were early, whether they were late, whether they were on time, and how much money people have really made. You can get all that information plus references right there at AmericanFinancialMidland.com. So I did recommend that to people this week. I told them to look us up, study us, study what we've done. I explained to them that the bank handles everything. The bank is the trustee on everything we do. So it's not like the stock market where they invest your money, make all your decisions for you. We don't make your decisions for you. When you come to us, it's a partnership. In other words, we're saying, okay, here's what we think you might like. We're going to send you the information on this policy. It's going to pay, let's say it pays 18%. That means it's an 18-month policy, and when that person passes away, you get paid. And the question the investors asked me this week, they didn't know me, said, well, do we just get just the interest back? I said, no, you get your principal back every time and the interest on every investment.
That's a good question.
So they were glad about that.
Wow, I'd never thought about that before.
Yeah, they thought they were just going to get the interest back and that their money would still be tied up. And I said, no. Every time a policy matures, you get your principal back and you get your interest back.
And then the goal, do they understand that the goal from that point is to reinvest in more policies and kind of keep the whole thing, the momentum going that way?
And I told them, I said, if you don't want it all invested, you can take $50,000, leave that in cash. He said, now, at any time, if I wanted the $50,000, could I pull it out? Sure. I said, you know, we will overnight that from Nevada Trust direct to your home. You know, you can get that at any time. I said, the other is tied up until the policy matures. So they understood that. And then they understood, of course, that they would get that principal back every time, that the principal is not going to be tied up past the 18 months or whatever length of time that policy is.
Okay, so they understand that, you know, on like say, and I'm just throwing out random numbers here, say somebody's in for like $100,000 on a 24-month policy, say it comes in on time, say it matures when they think it will, they get that profit of 24 grand because it's a 24-month, it's 1% per month, right?
That's right.
I think. Did I say that right?
Yes, if you can still add and subtract. They're going to get the 24% plus their investment. So they obviously had $100,000 in the policy, so they got $124,000 back. So whatever you have invested, you're going to get your principal back plus your interest every time. We don't keep the principal and hold it. And then we reinvest it. And next time it may be a 24-month or it might be an 18 or a 12-month. We're doing a policy this week, a $250,000 one, and it's only 6 months. They've only given the guy 6 months.
Wow, that's fast.
So it's going to be a short policy.
Jeez.
Yeah.
They don't usually come in that quick, do they?
No, we haven't had a 6 month in a long time. Lots of times we'll have a 12-month, 16-month, or 18-month. This one is 6 months. And so we'll have that filled probably Tuesday.
And so the whole goal is really to look for these, I guess, quote-unquote, shorter policies, not always 6 months, but, you know, 18, 24. How far out do you go? Do you like
36,
to do 30?
36. I love 36 because if that thing comes in 12 months, you know, it not only can we reinvest it, but your profit's higher, you know, because it was a short term. And I like those. Seems to me like they work out usually sooner than we expect. And most of our breast cancer ones are about 24, 27 months. Mm-hmm. And we've been very, very successful with those. We've called them, most of them, right. We've only had two that's went over on breast cancer.
Well, that's a pretty good ratio.
It is a good ratio. And, of course, as you know, pancreatic cancer is the most popular one that we do because it's hard to survive pancreatic cancer.
You know,
one in maybe 1,000 might survive.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I guess the numbers are there historically over the last many, many years that pancreatic cancer is one of the most. Don't they say that a lot of times by the time it's detected, it's almost too late?
It is too late most of the time. We've done a lot of them, and they'll say that a person's going to live 24 months, and I'm always pretty sure that's not right. We've had a lot of them come in 9 to 12 months. And then we've heard of cases right here in Midland where by the time they found out, they were dead a couple of months later.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very aggressive cancer. It's one you can't always find. And if you're not going to the doctor, you may not even know you have it. And that's you know, a terrible thing because you don't have a very good chance if you don't find it early.
You know, you say a lot of times, we always describe it as a very conservative type of investment. I think a lot of people think, oh, conservative means really, really slow. But I start hearing, the terms, and I start hearing, you know, okay, you're going out 36 months max. It doesn't seem like it's all that slow. So I think there is also a little bit of, cross confusion maybe about how conservative this type of conservative investment actually is. It doesn't mean this is going to go on for 20 years and you get like $5 in return. It means it's a little bit safer from other things that could affect it.
That's right. In other words, when we say conservative, it means that it's different. It's different than mutual funds. It's different than the stock market. It's different than the bond market because the bond market isn't paying anything, you know. People that have bonds are literally not making anything. They've got a solid bond, but they didn't pay anything. And some of the mutual fund companies have thrown in the towel this year. They're not making any money, and they said, we're going to give your base money back, and they did. They just said, you know, up till now we've made good, but this year we've not been able to get ahead. We haven't been able to make any extra money. And so, you know, we're throwing in the towel. One of the companies here in Texas that is huge on life settlements, they were buying long-term life settlements, 7 years, 10 years. And that's different than what we do. And I kept thinking, how are they going to make money? Because they've got premiums to pay, but they're not going to have any maturities. And they did sell all their businesses last year.
Really?
In 19, because they finally woke up to what I was saying. You have to have that income coming in. And they didn't have income coming in, even though they're a huge, huge conglomerate. They bought some wonderful policies, but it'll be years before they realize the profit off of it.
You know, I know you've been doing this for a very, very long time, and it's interesting you bring that up because you see a lot of other people out there, a lot of other companies are buying life insurance policies, but they don't have the same kind of focus that you do. They're not necessarily, you know, buying just stage four cancer. They're buying anything and everything. I don't even see how, because I know there's such a big difference, I don't see how that side of it can even make any money. As opposed to like what you're doing, I see massive profits, really good returns, really fast returns. I see how this works. I don't see how the other way could possibly get anywhere.
It's a long-term investment, and mutual fund companies have been just paying like 8% on their investment, and they're not making 8%. So a lot of them are having to change their strategy. Because it doesn't work that way. In other words, a lot of them thought that they would have more income coming in, but when you're doing a 7 to 10 year policy, you're not going to have the quick enough return for your people.
You know,
it's just too long term.
When you first started doing this, were you immediately drawn to stage four, or were you kind of like, hey, let's kind of look around and see what options are best, do a little testing here, a little testing there, or were you automatically drawn to stage four policies only?
Well, I knew that that's what we wanted to do. But when we started out, we made the mistake of listening to other people because we were just starting out, and they said, we want to sell you all these policies, and they're sick. They're telling us they're really ill. They weren't, and they were elderly people. Those people are now 90 and 95 years old. So we know we don't. A lot of people do senior marketing. They do seniors every day. We don't do seniors. A lot of people approach me all the time, Faye, we've got this really great policy They're 91. I said, don't even call me. Don't call me on the phone. I don't want to hear about it. You know, we don't do seniors. 76 is our cutoff. We're not going to do the elderly. We love them to death, but not for insurance policies. I guarantee they'll outlive that. All their expectations and their premiums will be so high those people will never make a dime.
Yeah.
So we stay away from it, but there is people that are still doing seniors. They do seniors every day, but it's not for us. We want people, most of ours are 60 years old. Did you know that?
Mm-mm. I had no idea.
Yeah. We do a lot of 55 to 60s. When we're buying those policies, they're not elderly. They're in their midlife. We bid a policy on a doctor this week. He's with the Cleveland Clinic. And he has brain cancer. He's young. He's 54 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And a lot of these policies that we buy, as I said, they're in their 50s. They're in their 60s. And the cancer, if it's stage 4, is going to get them most of the time within the time limits that the life expectancy says. Sometimes it's shorter, especially when it's brain cancer, because it's already spread to some other places. And you know, the policies we buy, we're looking to see if it's metastasized on other places, if they've lost weight, how much pain medication, and what stage it's really in. If you study all that, you know, it's going to work out pretty good.
So even, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even though it says it's stage 4 cancer at the top, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to bid on it. You're even weeding through those stage 4 cancers that look good maybe by the headline, but you start drilling down to some of that information like you were just talking about, and as you start developing a different type of picture, and are there many stage 4s that you pass on because of things like that? Or
probably 3 a week.
Oh.
That, you know, they're just not that sick. And if it says we cannot find any cancer, we've operated and they're looking good, well, we say, well, that's, you know, that person is not ready for this.
Yeah.
Of course, they're wanting to sell their policy. They think they're worse than they are, and they're not. Now, we have bid on one, and we actually bought it. We don't have the papers yet. We actually bought it. And this guy had this expectation he was going to get a lot more money than we could pay him for the policy. And he's a lawyer, and you know how lawyers are. And we kept saying, we can't pay you that much. He said, well, I see these advertisements. I said, you go call them. See if they'll give you that much money. Well, of course, they wouldn't. And then he went to the hospital. Then he finally sold us the policy.
Wow.
And going all the way around the mulberry bush.
Oh, boy.
And we know he's sick. You know, we know he's not going to make it. He was in the hospital. But lots of times the owners of these policies think they're going to just, you know, walk away with all the cash in the world. And they're not. And we pay more than anybody else. So when they get this idea in their head, they're going to get all this money, we tell them, call the people and find out they're really going to pay you that. It's in an advertisement. They're not going to pay you that much.
Yeah, they have to read the fine print on those other things.
They do. And like a lot of these lawyers, you know, they're smart, but when it comes to the health, they don't understand how this works.
Interesting.
And we've bought several doctors' policies over the years. And this one that we're looking at right now, you know, he has brain cancer. They've already operated on 2 spots. And it's come back now around where they operate at.
Really?
Yeah. Right on the outside rim there where they operate, the cancer has come back there. So that means not only did they not get it, but now it is spreading to other parts of the brain.
Oh, boy.
And glioblastoma is a deadly cancer.
Yeah. I mean, usually when the brain is affected, really the brain, the spine, is the spine also one of those key areas that you look for?
Well, if it's spine, it's usually started somewhere else. It doesn't usually start there. Usually they'll say it is spread to the spine, the ribs, the frame. If it's spread to all those, you don't have a prayer. Because it means it's in 3 or 4 locations, and I don't see and I haven't ever seen where they've survived if it's in all those locations. But we've bid some really interesting ones this week, some of cancers that I had never even thought about or heard about. And so I'm hoping we get those. We did buy several policies this week. The contracts have been coming in. You know, we were waiting and waiting for contracts, but now we're getting contracts in, so we're going to get everybody in policies one more time. And, of course, you know, for the year, we're at $17 million on returns.
That's just incredible. Is that a record-breaking year?
For me, it's record-breaking because I need to go back and look at what we had total last year. But I think we will exceed that by several million dollars.
That's amazing. Congratulations. I know we don't usually talk year over year, but it seems like, just in our past conversations, that each year seems to get there's growth every single year. You know, obviously I don't have numbers and I'm throwing you kind of like a curveball here. So I'm sure you don't have, you know, historical numbers either, but it seems just like it just keeps getting more profitable and more profitable for investors to keep doing life settlements. Is that an accurate?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a couple of people bring more money over this week. They came in and said, how hard would it be for me to transfer money from my 401k? We said, it isn't hard at all. Oh, they said, we didn't know it'd be that easy. And we said, just give us a copy of the 401k, tell us how much you want to transfer, and we'll take care of the whole thing. So a lot of people don't know that. And I don't know if we talk about it very much, but making a transfer from your IRA or your 401k is not hard to do. And we do it every day for people. And as I said, a lot of people this week have wanted to put extra money in and take it out of the stock market and out of their 401ks. Everybody's a little worried right now about what's going to happen.
Yeah. They should be. I mean, we've seen, you know, in the last couple of weeks, what was it, not this week, but the week before, I think, the market dropped 950-something. I mean, it came back a little bit.
In one day. But, I mean, it was quick and fast.
Yeah, yeah. And
it shows you how quick you could lose.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, those kinds of downs scare people. And do you think that there's going to be a time, because I know a couple weeks ago we were talking that some experts say, you know, that things are really, really unsure, and they could be looking at, you know, something similar to, is it 60, was it 1967?
I believe it
65?
Yeah, wasn't it 78, I think.
78.
When that big crash came. And of course, 2008 is not that far behind us. You know, we always forget. It's like a lot of other things. It's like after you break your arm, 2 years from now you forget how painful it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the same thing. You're going to forget and get a little bit lax, and then when it hits, it's going to remind you again how quick you can lose a lot of your money. And we don't want anyone to lose any of their money. That's one thing about it. They'll always get their principal back. They'll always get their interest back. And I think that's really important. And every time you do, we reinvest it. Or if you want to take some out, you can take some out. And there's just all kinds of things that, you know, that we can do.
Yeah, I want to ask you this, not to scare people. It's just, you know, people, I don't want people to get caught off guard with something that may be coming up too. Do they still think that a big, event? Maybe coming in the next several weeks or several months, and some
They're
of these
telling
drops.
Me that, you know, it could be before the end of the year, because things are pretty uncertain right now. You know, we don't know about a lot of things right now. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how our investments will fare in the new administration, whichever one it is. We don't know what they're going to do as far as regulations. Regulations could hurt us a lot.
So this would be, and I'm just assuming here, correct me if I'm wrong, this would be a good time, regardless of where anybody's at in their investing career, This would be a good time to really stop and analyze and assess, you know, where not only people are with their investments, but how close they're getting to retirement, how much risk they can take, how much they can afford to lose if something were to happen. If somebody's, say, 2, 3, 4 years out from retirement, you know, can they withstand something, or is it time to start pulling back at a little bit more conservative type of investment? Is this a good time to be doing something like that?
In my opinion, it would be, because if you're close to retirement, you want to be sure you hold on to every bit of your retirement income. You're going to need it.
Okay.
And as I said, we don't know what new regulations are fixing to hit us. We don't know what everything is going to happen, because we don't know what's going to go on. I'll just say it like that. So I think we should be overly cautious and have some of our money in something other than the stock market.
So with this much uncertainty and just things that are not known, it is a good time to just be ready just in case, come up with a plan B, or maybe make plan B, plan A, because we don't know. Not necessarily that, hey, this happened, so this is going to happen, or this happened, so that's going to happen. It's just nobody knows, and so it's time to make sure that we're prepared, right?
That's right. And as I always tell people, keep some cash at home. You know, I don't want to say that out loud, because...
like under the mattress? What do you mean? In a cookie jar?
Well, I'm just saying, you should always have some cash available.
Really? That's...
Yeah,
I've never
really
heard you...
that.
You've never said
know,
that before.
I know, I've never said that out loud.
That's awfully ominous.
I know. If you have a safe, I'm just saying, what if you needed money in a hurry?
All right. Boy, I think you got some people's attention right now. I'll tell you what. I just felt the earth tilt a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to say the sky is falling, but I think that everybody should be conservative.
Wow. All right. Well, that certainly hits home. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, I know how much you love cooking, and I know how much you love things like this.
Yeah.
So let's talk about cooking.
Oh, yeah.
When do you think the first cookbook was written in the state of Texas?
1932.
1883.
That was my next guess.
Of course it was. Oh, me. Okay, after the Civil War, of course, people up north were publishing cookbooks. But you see, it didn't work in Texas because, you know, our heat, our humidity affected the finished products, and northern recipes didn't do well here.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to publish the cookbook in 1883.
That's amazing.
Now, they did not call them recipes back then.
They didn't?
They were called receipts.
Really? Receipts?
And it's from the Old English by Chaucer in the Canterbury Tales. How about that?
All right.
And recipe wasn't used until the 19th century.
Really?
So they used the word receipts.
I had no idea.
Yes.
That's weird.
And, it is. And so recipes were written, you know, for their neighbors, their friends back then. This one, in 1883, was a project of the Ladies Association of the First Presbyterian Church in Houston.
Really?
Yeah, and they called it A Thorough Treatise on the Art of Cookery. They had 801 recipes. 71 ladies and one gentleman contributed to it.
Wait a minute. So that's like 10, a little over 10 recipes apiece, right? If my math
is right.
That's right. Wow.
And they came from Houston, Austin, Bastrop, Eagle Lake, Navasota, Palestine, Hempstead, and they had them in 25 sections.
Really?
Yeah. Recipes for ketchup, sour pickles, sweet pickles, yeast, side dishes. Then it comes on down, and it said fancy dishes.
Ooh, like casseroles?
Fancy dishes. And then they had a section for home remedies and concoctions for cleaning.
Really?
Yes. Then they added a final section. It was called heirloom recipes.
Oh.
It was all blank, where you could write in your treasured family recipes to pass them down.
Now that is so important to do, and I think the art of that is getting lost.
Yes, and they shouldn't, because everybody has these old recipes, and they should put them in the back of their recipe books for their children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
And everybody says they've tried lots of old 19th century recipes. It's lots of fun, and it's something tangible from our past. And they said most of them are great, and said it's great to do it with your grandchildren and show them what the old country was like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that a fun thing? Get your grandkids, buy one of these books. You know, they're back in print, and the book is about $39. I think it'd be worth every dime of it to get it. And it's called Old Texas Cooking.
Amazing. I bet that's
1883 got some recipes, folks.
This is back before, you know, when you wanted to make a cake or pudding, you didn't just dump a mix in a bowl and whip it around. You actually got cocoa. You got all the individual ingredients, and you didn't just, you know, whip something up in a couple of minutes. It took a lot of preparation. And then really, cooking back then is so much different than it is now. I mean, now it can get fancy, but man, the old stuff, the old school cooking, that's the best.
Yeah, and I can imagine how they made all these recipes. I'd love to see, you know, how they made all these things. You know, they had pies, pastry, cakes in there. Branded fruits and preserves.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. And they had so many recipes, sauces for meats back then. In the 1800s, how would you have made a sauce for meats?
Yeah.
I can just imagine.
Oh, wow. And they had recipes for ketchups and stuff like that?
Yeah, for ketchup.
Wow.
Yeah. And back then, I don't know how they were making their pickles, but I'll bet it was interesting.
Mm. I know a lot of people don't make their own ketchup anymore. They, you know, you go to the store and you get a bottle of something. I know barbecue sauce, people make, you know, a lot of their own barbecue sauce. They have their own recipes. That is a very unique, special thing. I'm sure there's probably some kind of barbecue recipes in there. But man, it sounds amazing.
But I don't know if they didn't call it barbecue back then, recipes.
They probably still call it ketchup.
Yeah, I imagine they were taking the ketchup and making barbecue sauce. I love to make my own barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Texas has got so many barbecue places. It's amazing. And even for Thanksgiving, they're barbecuing turkeys. You can buy a barbecue turkey. You can buy a Cajun turkey. Greenberg's. I hate to mention this morning. I hope you didn't order anything from Greenberg's over in Tyler. The turkeys all blew up.
What?
They had an explosion at the warehouse. 87,000 turkeys exploded.
No.
Yes, 87,000 that they were fixing to cook and ship out.
Oh, man, I didn't hear about. When did that happen? I didn't even hear that.
This last week. Now, the bad thing is, you know, they've had to shut down for the rest of the year.
Oh, no.
They will not be shipping any turkeys. They will not be cooking any turkeys. Everything's in such a mess. But I was reading about the Greenberg family, and what amazes me, they said until a few years ago, they had all the people would call them, order their turkeys, they would ship them, and then bill them later.
Really? Nobody does that anymore.
Nobody does that. That's how honest the people were in East Texas. They would just ship them and send you a little bill, and you just send it in at the end of the month.
Boy, they trust people more than I do.
You and I would know better, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
You would never get it. Most of them would just say, oh, well, you know, we've already eaten it, to heck with it.
Yeah, exactly. It was delicious. Bye.
Yeah, people are just not as honest, you know, as they used to be.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
You know, used to you could just do all kinds of things. But I thought that was interesting. Greenberg's had 87,000 birds.
And the sad thing is you know, with Thanksgiving, you know, a week and a half away, it's like there's no time to recover. There's no time to – it's like this is like the bread and butter of the season, and it's all gone. The whole year is
– And I've been reading about all the turkey recipes. There is some that have wine. They have branded turkeys. You know, there's every kind of turkey in the world. People have really brought it to another level.
Mm. I've never heard of that before, like wine turkey and brandy turkey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been reading about it this week. Branded turkeys.
Sounds amazing.
Now, the Pioneer Woman brines her turkey first. I've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that. I'm going to just have a fresh turkey, and I'm going to bake him.
You have a deep-fried turkey?
I don't want a deep fried one. I've tried that.
You didn't like it that much?
No, I like a baked turkey, you know. But I have been reading about different butter sauces to cover him in instead of, you know, we used to just do butter.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you put orange peel in it and all this other things in your butter, and then you rub it all over it.
Really? Orange peels?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you scrape your orange peel, you put it in your butter, then you butter the turkey inside and out, and you're still going to put apples and different fruits inside the turkey.
Where are you hanging out? Who are these people that you're talking to? I want to know their names. Either that or we're coming over to your house.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll keep you abreast of how I'm going to do all this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You didn't know you could do all that, huh?
No, never heard of any of this.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Well, yeah, you need to flavor your butter up and then do it all over the turkey. Don't just do butter. You need to flavor it.
All right. Well, now I'm going to have to Google this now for the next couple of days.
That's right. And be sure you've got your giblets out first.
Oh, that's yeah, made that mistake once.
Yeah, I've heard of people that have actually cooked it with the giblets and the thing in there.
Yep.
That takes care of that problem. They're all ruined, you know.
Yep, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's a week and a half. People need to get all their recipes out and start getting them ready.
Yeah.
If you're not going to order it. Now, a lot of people are just going to order it, have it sent out. But, you know, sometimes it's not as good as what you make at home.
I know it. I know. It's always, you know, most of the, and I think part of it might have to do with also the fact that, you know, you put so much work into it, into, you know, making, you know, the brine, if you go that route, or, you know, prepping the bird and then, you know, putting it in the oven at like, you know, 6 a.m. or whatever it is.
That's right.
And then you slowly start to smell it cook and it's like, oh man, there's just something that's so comforting about it.
That's right. Well, because people coming to the house, they smell your turkey. They smell all the flavors, and it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now that you've opened me up to, like, brandy turkey and putting orange peels and zest in your butter, it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world.
I mean, it's a whole new world. It's a new modern world. And as I said, there's just so many new inventions for making the turkey even better.
Yeah. I had no idea. You see, now you should have a cooking show.
Oh, my gosh. In addition to everything else.
Yeah.
Wow.
See?
You think of the darndest things.
We're coming up with a long list of things. You've got like 16 different careers right in front of you right now.
I know. You know, my children have always wanted me to write a book.
You should.
And I'm going, I don't have time to write a book. They say, if you could just write a book about all your exploits,
yes,
it'd be fabulous.
It would. It would be amazing.
Oh, oh, it'd be like show and tell, wouldn't it?
It would. You could do one, yeah, like volume one with like all your experiences, and then volume two with like all, like anything, you know, in the culinary field, like recipes or, you know, disastrous Thanksgiving stories mixed in there. And then, you know, you could do like a holiday version. Oh, the possibilities are endless.
Let me tell you something. Years ago, I wanted to be really different, and I got a goose. And I said, you know, I'm going to surprise them. We're not having turkey this year. We're going to do a goose. I cooked this goose in the oven, and when I took him out, there was nothing left.
Oh.
He had disintegrated right in front of me.
What
My
happened?
Family looked at this goose and almost cried.
Oh, man.
They said, what are we going to eat? I said, well, I don't know. It won't be goose. But that goose had cooked down to like a gravy.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't know that a goose would do that.
Me neither. But I knew
that you don't want to do a goose on Thanksgiving. Don't do it.
I knew it wasn't going to go well when you started it out with, I'm going to surprise them.
That's it, yes. And they do not like surprises, by the way.
No, thanks.
They do not like for me to pull something that I've never done before.
If your menu this year is Thanksgiving surprise, nobody's coming over.
Nobody's coming. They don't want to see that disaster. Oh, my gosh. I never again cooked a goose. Never, never, never.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's kind of like starting out the story with, hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you just don't want to do it.
No. Go with what is tried and true, with what you know. Or,
that's what they say.
If you're going to
do a turkey, do what you do best.
If you want to experiment, start, you know, practicing in like August. And then, so that by the time you get to Thanksgiving, you've got it down and all the kinks are worked out and you don't end up with nothing.
That's right. You don't want to surprise them. They do not like surprises.
No.
Wow. Oh, man.
All right. Well, what's this book called again? Because I want to check into this.
Old Texas Cooking.
All right.
1883.
Back when they were churning their own butter.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yes, delicious. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
We should also mention also your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Like you said earlier, people can go find information. They can find out what people have actually made, get all kinds of testimonials and things like that. A wealth of information is at AmericanFinancialMidland.com. So let's talk about the risks just for a minute with a life settlement, because this is amazing as the opportunity is, because there's not many investments that I can think of off the top of my head where people can survive any kind of uncertainty, especially with what is going on now and the rough seas that may be coming up ahead, knowing that you're going to survive that with your investment and that your retirement and your wealth and your entire portfolio can remain intact through stuff like that is pretty amazing, but it does come with some risks. What's the biggest one?
There's always risk. Anybody thinks everything that's not ever risk is wrong. The biggest risk is it can go over. You have to be sure you're prepared for that. That's why you need several policies in case they do go over. So if it goes over, that's your biggest risk. It could go over. It could be a 24-month policy. It may go 2 years over. It might go three. But you will get your principal. You'll get your interest back, but it's going to be delayed. The second risk is knowing that your money is in the policies and is not in cash in your account. And everybody, I think, knows that. That when you invest, you take the money out of the account and you put in a policy. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And we've never had a life insurance company go under in Texas. It's been years since one went under nationally because the premium income is so huge that everybody would want the company. It doesn't matter. And we've had that happen. A company several years ago was in trouble, and they bought it before anybody even knew about it because it was so profitable.
That's amazing. It seems like, you know, almost the risks are not necessarily risk. I know they technically are, but it's almost it's like, well, there's got to be something else. We got to call it something other than a risk. But I mean, it is what it is. As far as when you compare, you know, the risks against the gains, it seems like it's almost a non-issue, partially because people do have to be accredited to do the life settlement, right?
That's exactly right. That's another important issue. People don't understand. One of the gentlemen that called me this week didn't understand. He is accredited. He was worth well over $1 million, but he thought he also had to be employed. You can be retired, because when I say you have to make $200,000 a year, that's if you're still working. If you're not, you must be worth $1 million without your home. So that's just the way it works. In other words, if you're worth $1 million, you're not employed, you're fine. If you're employed and you only make $200,000 a year, that's fine. It'll work. But you have to have one or the other, not both.
So if somebody's, because I know we talk a lot of times about getting ready for retirement and building your wealth to get to that place, but if you're already retired and you're in that good place and you're able to, does it make sense for people to start doing something like this to keep growing their portfolio even after retirement?
They should keep growing it, yes, after retirement. Because after you retire, if you're in the stock market, you've got a lot more risk. So, you know, if you want to be conservative, you know, you can move some over, see if you like us. If you like us, then you can put more. Because if you're going to retire this year, next year, or the next 5 years, you know, you want that money to be secure. You've only got money one time. It's not going to come back, folks. So be careful, be conscientious, and be conservative.
What do you think is the latest age range that somebody would logically want to start something like this?
I think 74.
Really?
Yeah, 75, somewhere in there, if you're just starting.
Jeez, that's about 30 years later than what I was expecting.
Well, yeah, but after that, if you're 80 years old, it's too late. It's already passed you by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so if somebody's not accredited, though, and they're not to a place where they can do the life settlement, what other options would they have either to get to that place or just other alternatives in general?
An annuity is the best thing for a lot of people. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can do an annuity. You can do an annuity at 40. You can do one at 80. Annuities will give you a lifetime income. And right now, annuities are up about 10% in the last month.
Really?
So you can always count on an annuity. You can take lifetime income. You can go 10% a year. If you had an emergency after the third year, you can take the money out. This is the first time I've ever had that advantage for people, that if they had an emergency, they could take it out. And they're not going to penalize you.
Really?
Yeah. And you can take money out the rest of your life. It'll give you income that you may need. So an annuity is great even if you're accredited or if you're non-accredited. It's always a good thing to have an annuity in your portfolio.
Life settlements are always, though, the big draw for most people, right?
It is. Everybody says, can I do it? And if I'm saying you're not qualified, you can't get there, they say, okay, can I do an annuity until I'm qualified? Sure.
Okay.
And I've got some people now that are accredited that weren't 3 years ago, but they are now. And we're asking our non-accredited to get accredited.
Okay, so that's a goal. There's a plan to get to that place where you can start doing life settlements because that is so profitable. The turnaround is really quick. It is so conservative. As you go over the next couple of weeks or so, a couple of months, people are looking at their portfolio. They're saying, okay, I really want to either come in for information or I think I'm really kind of ready to jump in the pool. If somebody's in that place, what do they need to get started? What do they looking at?
Okay, we're going to need a copy of where the money's coming from, you know. In other words, if they've got a 401k, we need to see what it's in. If it's an IRA or if they're going to write a check, we need to see. And once we see that, we can do a rollover for them. We can get the money over to Nevada Trust. Remember, it all goes to the bank. It goes to Nevada Trust. They act as the trustee on these accounts. That's our protection for everybody.
Okay.
It's always at the bank. The bank does everything.
Okay. And you're still Zoom meetings with people, right?
Yes, we are. And it's just easy as 1, 2, 3. You know, I've done some out of the county accounts lately, and we just send them the pages. They send them back with their driver's license, their financials, and we get it done.
Okay.
It's pretty simple.
They do need to call to schedule that meeting. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call and get started?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.